to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Later in the show, we'll talk about the NFL draft, the NBA draft. Is there hope for the Blazers out there? I don't know what's going on with the weather here. It's like one minute we have a driving storm, power going out. Next day it feels like summer. John Wilner, you can always count on him. Bay Area News Group superstar. He had a report today about some mediation possibly going on between the Pac-12, the Mountain West, and the schools. Wilner, how are you, man? What's the weather like in the Bay Area? Are you outside right now?
I'm in my car, but it's great weather, 80 degrees, not going to last. We're supposed to be rainy and cold next week, so enjoying it while I can.
Give me an idea. You know, last night about 11 o'clock, report out about the Pac-12, the Mountain West, the schools, mediation, all this stuff. Made it sound like it was imminently happening. You had a report today that cleared some of that up. What have you learned?
That was a little bit surprising what happened late last night. Clearly, the Mountain West leaked the story that there was mediation happening, but that was not exactly accurate. There is no, they have not engaged in mediation. They do not have a mediator. They do not have scheduled mediation. The only thing that's happened at this point is the Mountain West has reached out to the Pac-12 and said, would you guys be willing to talk about mediation? And the Pac-12, which is basically Oregon State and Washington State, said, yeah, we'll talk about it, but there's no guarantees it will happen, especially given that there are actually two cases, right? It's the poaching penalty lawsuit that the Pac-12 was filed against the Mountain West, and it's also the exit fee lawsuit that Colorado State, Utah State, and Boise State have filed against the Mountain West. So those two separate lawsuits, both against the Mountain West, will be combined into a single mediation. But we're a long way from that actually happening. They're just kind of talking about it at this point.
Give us an idea of what the process for mediation would look like.
Well, they have to figure out who they want as a mediator, where they want it to happen, and then, you know, I don't know how long it'll take. It could take months. It could take weeks. One important date is March 25th. That is when the Mountain West filed a motion to dismiss the Pac-12's poaching lawsuit, and the judge is supposed to hear the motion to dismiss on March 25th. If the Pac-12 lawsuit is allowed to continue, I think that there's going to be a quick move for mediation on the Mountain West part because, you know, as you would suspect, if they reached out about mediation, they're probably feeling less confident about their case than the Pac-12 is feeling about its side of the case.
I am looking at kind of your story and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the Mountain West approaching the Pac-12, or is this both sides talking, or how do you read that?
Well, no, the Mountain West approached the Pac-12 about, let's go to mediation. And
okay.
The Pac-12 said, yeah, we'll talk about it. But they haven't decided that they're definitely going to do it yet. So, but the Mountain West definitely initiated the conversation about mediation, which tells you maybe they are concerned about going through with a court case.
It's interesting because I read it the same way, that if I'm the Pac-12 and the Mountain West calls me and this March 25th date is looming, you know, it may be if I'm playing poker here, I would read it as the Mountain West going, we may lose that lawsuit. Maybe we need to mediate, or maybe we need to appear like we're being very reasonable heading into that potential dismissal.
Yep.
The legal experts I've talked with, Wilner, say that they believe this case will move forward. Have you heard anything along those lines?
I've heard the same thing, that it will move forward. One thing to keep in mind is that university presidents do not like court trials, and they do not like discovery. And so We found that out in the Pac-12, you know, the Pac-2 versus Pac-10. Right? They settled. Once it looked like Washington State and Oregon State were gonna win in court, there was a settlement. And I suspect it'll be the same thing here. The big question is there documentation that shows both the Mountain West and the Pac-12 knew the poaching penalty was illegal before that scheduling agreement was signed? My sense is the Pac-12's got some evidence on that. And if that's the case, they're going to have a real good chance to win. And if the Pac-12 either wins in court or settles, you know, who knows what could happen in the Mountain West, because they're counting on a lot of money from that poaching penalty to make their members happy.
How does the Mountain West Five now being in the Pac-12's corner potentially affect that lawsuit? Because I kind of wonder about Boise State and San Diego State's ability to share information with the Pac-12 and say, hey, going in, yes, we signed this agreement with you, because they were on the other side at the time. Now we can tell you, hey, this is what we knew at the time. We knew it wouldn't hold up.
Could be, and that'll come out in discovery, I would think, if it gets to that point. But it is weird, especially with Boise State, Colorado State, and Utah State, right? They're involved in both suits. They have filed a lawsuit against the Mountain West over the exit penalties, and they're also on the Pac-12's side of the Pac-12 lawsuit against the Mountain West. So there's two lawsuits going on. Those three schools are still members of the Mountain West, but they are opposing the Mountain West in both lawsuits. It's a little bit funky.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News. How does the fate of UNLV potentially and others measure into this? Or are you talking about the potential for the Mountain West maybe to be sucked all the way under if they lose these lawsuits?
Well, I don't want to go that far, but I think it's on the range of possibilities. The Mountain West has promised UNLV and Air Force more than $20 million, and that is from the exit fees and the poaching penalty. And if, let's just say, I'm just throwing out a number to make kind of so people can envision it in their heads. Let's just say the Mountain West is counting on $100 million. And let's say they have guaranteed UNLV and Air Force 25 each. Well, if there's a settlement of those lawsuits and that $100 million becomes $50 million, then they're not going to be able to make the payments they've promised to UNLV and Air Force. And so then what happens? Do UNLV and Air Force say, well, we'll take $12.5 million instead of $25 million? Or do you say, you know what, you violated the agreement. We're going to start looking around to see if another conference will take us. And obviously the Pac-12 needs at least one more school. So there's a way you can logically get to the point where the future of the Mountain West is in trouble. I don't think we're there yet, but you can kind of map it out in your head.
The Pac-12, J.D. Wicker, the San Diego State Athletic Department AD, says, you know, hey, this deal's done by the end of March. Then it's about expansion. Talked about a ninth school and a football school in that way, and then the potential for one to three more. Help me out. I got my own opinions, but you tell me, what's the right number of football schools? What's the right number of basketball schools in your mind?
Let me answer it this way. They have to have eight football schools, but the right number kind of depends on the revenue shares, right? If they went to 10, but the last couple came in at 25% shares, that's a different calculus than if they go to 10 and everybody's a full share member. So I think that that's part of what they're discussing. You know, they got the media rights piece done. Once they know the number on the media rights piece, then they're going to have a sense for what they can offer new members. Can they offer full shares? Can they offer half shares, quarter shares? Are they going to make somebody come in for nothing like SMU did with the ACC? So I don't know that, you know, financially, I don't know that we're at the point where we know the right number. Now, competitively, certainly nine schools for football would help, because then you play eight games and four non-conference games. But I think that it is almost two different discussions, what works competitively and what works financially.
Wilner, I wrote today about Larry Scott, the former commissioner of the Pac-12, and you know, Annika Sorenstam has come out with...
You were very kind to him.
Come out with a statement in which she says... I got to read part of this. She says, you know, he's got quote-unquote great relationships with sponsors and quote-unquote the gravitas to command respect when he enters a room. This may just be Annika Sorenstam giving her friend a helping hand here with a written statement trying to help soften his perception nationally. But if the LPGA is seriously considering this guy, I worry about the LPGA. Do you see Larry Scott being able to come back and be a commissioner somewhere again someday?
Maybe. And the only reason I say that is because he was the commissioner of the WTA before he took over the Pac-12. I don't know enough to know whether he was a good commissioner of the WTA or a bad commissioner. But the LPGA is a lot closer to the WTA than either of them is to the Pac-12 or college sports. So maybe he could possibly be reasonably competent running the LPGA. I just don't know. But certainly, the LPGA has got to do their due diligence, and they got to look into his management style, his strategic decision making. You know, all the stuff that you mentioned in your column. I just wonder what Annika Sorenstam was watching, because clearly she was not watching when Larry Scott fined Sean Miller for responding to that technical foul by Ed Rush in Las Vegas. When the Pac-12 had put a bounty on Miller. I mean, Larry Scott was persona non grata in Tucson for 8 years. Where was Sorenstam? She wasn't paying attention, obviously.
Yeah, not paying attention, not watching, and certainly the golf, tennis, kind of a different game there than college athletics. In our podcast interview that we did with Stu Jackson, you and I, Canzano and Wilner, the podcast on YouTube, you talked to Stu Jackson about the conference commissioners. He brings up the idea that two of the four Power Four conference commissioners are campus guys who understand college athletics. The other two, they're just in this for the business of it. What did you make of Stu Jackson's view of the college landscape?
Well, it was refreshingly candid. He didn't name names, but he did certainly delineate between Jim Phillips, the SEC, Greg Sankey, the SEC, who had been in college athletics for a long time, and then the Big Ten's Tony Petitti and the Big 12's Brett Yormark. He was clear who he was talking about. And you don't usually hear that kind of stuff from one commissioner about other commissioners. But he's right. Yormark and Petitti have a different perspective than Sankey and Phillips. I thought Jackson was really good, and certainly what he had to say about realignment, about the NCAA tournament expansion, the selection process, I thought it was all very interesting, and you know, with the West Coast Conference's place in it, and he was pretty honest about how the WCC and conferences like it don't really have a whole lot of say right now.
Wilner, I am looking at, Northern Illinois today said they're going to play all their 14 sports in the horizon. They're going to play football in the Mountain West, and they have separated football from the other sports. Do you see that as a precursor to maybe football and other sports separating in a similar fashion, as Northern Illinois is going, hey, these other sports are going to play in the horizon because it's a geography thing, but football is going to play in the Mountain West? They have separated it.
They have, and they're not the only one. UC Davis is putting all of its sports in the Mountain West except football, which is remaining at the FCS level, right? And that's kind of what Northern Illinois is doing, it just in reverse. But I think we're going to see more and more of that. It just makes so much more sense for your Olympic sports to be in a regional conference. Football is very different. The travel demands are much less. You're only going for, 5 weekends a year, and those are 2-day trips. whereas the Olympic sports have got series, multiple series on other coasts. So I think that that's kind of the model we're going to end up seeing in 6, 8, 10 years. Football is going to be separated. And Chip Kelly talked to us about that on our podcast, what, a year and a half ago or so, and he was almost the first person to really suggest it.
I am eager to see all of this through. I'm fascinated by it. People come to me, and they probably come to you too. They say, aren't you tired of covering this? I find the palace intrigue super compelling.
I do too. I do too. Partly because college sports has screwed itself up so badly that it creates great content. And partly because it's almost unknowable. You can't get to the bottom of it because it's just one wormhole after another. I find things that you cannot actually answer to be very interesting. And certainly college football is in that category. And we're seeing it right now with the discussions about playoff expansion and what they should do or shouldn't do and how it has a ripple effect on so many other things that it's just endlessly fascinating.
One NFL Combine question. You wrote about this at the hotline, but Cam Scataboo, what kind of pro is he? Where does he fit in the NFL?
I just can't wait to watch him work out this week, right? I think it would depend a little bit on how fast he runs. Is he a short yardage back only who also plays special teams? Could he be a first down back and catch the ball out of the backfield? There's a lot of unknowns about him, but the guy's a heat-seeking missile. He's fun to watch, and he makes plays. So there's a role for him somewhere. And I think we'll start to get some answers this weekend. He works out, Saturday. But, you know, where his draft stock ends up being is going to depend a lot on what happens in Indianapolis.
And finally, Bernard Muir, the Stanford AD, 13 largely forgettable years you wrote about in the Mercury News.
Yep.
13 years on the job. What triggers Bernard Muir's resignation, and what does it mean for the stakeholders?
Well, Stanford fans are ecstatic because they have not been Bernard Muir fans for a long time. The reason he's leaving, I think, is they have a new president, and the president cares about football and wants to start over. The president hired Andrew Luck to be the general manager of Stanford football. Luck reports directly to the president. He wasn't reporting to Bernard Muir, the athletic director. So that was kind of the writing on the wall when that happened. And, you know, we'll see. If Stanford's got a president who understands the value of football, Stanford could be pretty darn good, right? I mean, a lot of success in this era of revenue sharing in NIL is about money. And, you know, Stanford's like BYU. It's a matter of willpower, but the money is endless.
I am fascinated to see what happens. And, Wilner, I appreciate you. I will catch you down the road. Thank you for giving us some of your time. You have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, my friends. I'll see you.
There he goes. John Wilner. Tomorrow, we'll be broadcasting from the Portland Expo Center. And we will be there for the golf show, the Portland Golf Show. Or is it the Oregon Golf Show? It's the Oregon Golf Show. We'll be at the Expo Center, 3 to 6 p.m. Stop by and say hi. Fist bump. If I'm on air talking, I can't really talk. But fist bump all day. Love to see you there. And also, Dana Altman will be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, Oregon Ducks men's basketball coach. Good stuff. All that's still ahead. We're going to talk about the NFL and the NBA. Is there a draft pick out there that can save the Blazers? Cooper Flagg, would that do it? We'll talk about it coming up.